And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. And if you're a sports fan in Middle Tennessee, what a night last night, Joe Rex Road. It was, the Preds. We'll get to that here in a minute. The Memphis Grizzlies with a dramatic win last night. What a night in professional sports around here. We got an immediate mute from Rex Road.
Yes. Yeah. I think that sets the tone perfectly for what's to come here. We had a nice night of watching sports together. Robbie kind of crouched around my laptop to watch the Grizzlies on press row. And then the whole Preds press corps was crouched around Robbie's phone with the Vegas Dallas finish. And then in the meantime, one of the most intense regular season games I've seen in hockey.
It was pretty amazing last night. Michelle, what's going on? How are we doing?
Guys, a little sleepy this morning after all the sports last night, but doing well. 4 hours, here we go.
It was quite the time last night. We'll get to the Preds and both a wild game and a wild scenario afterwards in the game here in just a few minutes. So let's start on the Grizzlies front. They win 111-109. They take a 3-2 series lead. They were down pretty much the whole game. I think they led 28-27, and they were down really from that point on. And Ja Morant hits a couple of big shots in the fourth, including the game winner with 1.1 seconds left or something like that, where he drives through the hole, puts in the layup left-handed around Karl-Anthony Towns, and the Memphis Grizzlies come back in the fourth quarter, and they walk away with a 111-109 win. And I tell you what, the difference between going down 3-2, heading back to game six in Minnesota, and coming back to win and being up 3-2 with a chance to close out is massive. And what a performance by Ja Morant last night.
I mean, truly, just a great game. That's an all-timer. That's going to be for however deep that team goes. After this year, you're going to remember that game. And Karl-Anthony Towns is going nuts. He's got that set shot going. It's just falling all over the place. Fouls out Jaren Jackson and on a three, and Jaren Jackson hit his arm. And it's like the Grizzlies are just about toast at that point. And then they willed it, and Ja Morant willed it. And then you have like an incredible play drawn up to get Anthony Edwards the tying three. And then, Taylor Jenkins draws up a really long winding baseline out of bounds play that all of a sudden gets Morant the lane to himself somehow, which there was a misplay there. And also there was just amid all that, I mean, D'Angelo Russell, man, like, and that's just the problem with Minnesota. Karl-Anthony Towns or Anthony Edwards, one of those guys has to touch the ball always down the stretch. And D'Angelo Russell just decides to jack up this heavily guarded, no chance shot. That was the killer possession for Minnesota. But Morant, obviously not to mention like dunk of the whatever dunk of the.
Say.
Although he said after the game he wasn't that impressed. He's like, yeah, it's not that hard to guard to dunk on a guard. But I don't know. Was that number one? Was that number one on the SportsCenter Top 10?
I haven't seen, but it's got to be, right? I mean, there are people calling that the most violent dunk they've ever seen in a playoff game. I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far. I'd have to go back and look through some of the dunks we've seen in the playoffs. But Ja Morant, tell you what, when he decides to get up, he can really, really get up. And that was quite the dunk last night. I feel like that kind of got the crowd going. They were dead. They were, thinking about the prospects of being down 3-2, and the dunk from Ja kind of got the crowd going in that game.
Yeah, that was right at the end of the third. And but again, even with that, Minnesota had that game, and that's just a huge win for the Grizzlies. I look at that series, and I'm not going to be surprised at all if it comes down to a game seven, if it's a good game seven. They've got some matchup issues defensively, but Ja Morant, that was one of those that's gonna be in the legend of Ja Morant. Last night's game will be included.
Well, and it's amazing. And I realize this is how seven game series work, and you got to make big plays at big times. and close things out. But I mean, that's yet another game last night where you could make an argument Minnesota was the better team and probably should have already won this series 4-1, and they're down 3-2 heading back to game 6. So John Morant and the Grizzlies, I don't think have played their best in this series, but they've made some pretty massive plays when it's mattered the most.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, he goes 30, 13, and 9, just misses a triple-double by an assist. You know, last night, he really, if he'd gotten the same level of help that he got in the last game, you know, then it might have been a different story. I mean, he did get 25 from Bane again. You count on Bane, and then Clark 21 off the bench. But, they just really struggled to get stops until it was just purely grit and will and some, you know, some early jump shots from Minnesota. Minnesota can make it easy on you sometimes. I mean, D'Angelo Russell, you know, he only took 10 shots, and maybe that's the problem. Sometimes it's like, you know, my turn to take a shot, but man, you can't look at it that way, because Edwards and Towns were so good last night.
So the Grizz up 3-2 heading back to Minnesota for game 6. We'll see if they can close that out. What a superhuman performance from Ja Morant last night in the fourth quarter. Joe, switching to the Preds, that was a heck of a hockey game last night. That was the best hockey game I've been to in a while, especially in the regular season. You got the Flames and the Predators, who obviously don't like each other. But even though John Hines denied this a little bit after the game, I kind of felt like there was some tone setting going on last night between the Preds and the Flames, knowing that they could see each other in the first round. And it was really right from the jump, physical play left and right. You got Janot getting in a fight with Goodbranson. You got Lucic fighting Mark Borowiecki. Matthew Tkachuk in the mix basically after every single whistle last night in the first period, and that carried on throughout the game. And ultimately, the Predators have a 4-3 lead in the third period, and UC Saros leaves the game. We'll get to that more here in just a few minutes. And all of a sudden, it's 4-3. You've got the net pulled for Calgary. They put one off the post that I thought may have gone in that we never got another look at because of what happened about 11 seconds later. And Calgary scores with 0.1 seconds remaining to force overtime. And then they win in overtime as well. Crazy game last night. They had a chance to clinch the playoffs by just winning the game in regulation if you're the Predators. And then they ultimately did clinch the playoffs with Dallas beating Vegas in a shootout. But what a crazy night last night at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on the tone setting. I think Calgary had that intent. You know, I mean, Calgary is, established basically. You know, and what it's where it's going to be in the postseason. The Pacific is one that's over. They're playing out the rest of the season. They come into a place they lost a week earlier. They know, although not right now at this moment, it's a lot less likely. But going into last night's game, they knew that there was a very good chance that they were going to play the Preds, and I think they came out with the intent of letting them know, like, you know, you're not going to push us around. Kind of reminded me of Minnesota a couple weeks ago, which didn't go well for Minnesota.
Yeah.
But Calgary, I haven't seen that kind of success against Janot or Borowiecki in fights, let alone in the same period, that we saw last night. So there's bitterness. I mean, if this does happen to be a series, which I have serious doubts about now, which is too bad, then, boy, it's going to be – I mean, who's going to be left standing after this thing, you know, is my question. Who can actually carry on to the next round, whoever wins it? But for that, it's a great thing for the Preds to get in, and they got in and they left the building knowing they got in. But, I mean, to lose that lead with 0.1 of a second – I mean, it's just, you know, I thought at that moment, like, is this actually going to keep them out of the playoffs? I mean, think about if that's the case, you know, just a crusher of a loss. But the bigger thing is what you mentioned. I mean, if you may have completely changed your trajectory and your prospects and everything, depending on how UC Saros is, and not being able to put any weight on the leg, is not a good sight.
It did not look great, I'll be honest with you. And there was no update on UC Soros last night. You know, Yossi talked about in his, you know, his press conference after the game about not really knowing what was going on with him. And John Hines did not have an update in the post-game press conference, but it did not look great for UC Soros last night. We'll get more into that here in just a few minutes. I mean, the hits last night, I mean, Matt Duchene got crunched by Milan Lucic in the third period on an interference play. You know, Janot got rocked once and then got up and waited for the guy that hit him and then destroyed him the next shift out there. It was, I mean, there was some animosity out there last night. And some animosity, but really between two teams that hadn't seen each other a whole lot this year. I mean, you're talking about you played Calgary on the road. I think it was back in late October, early November. You saw him last week at Bridgestone. And I said this during the game last night, and if it happens in the playoffs, it's certainly going to be true. Predators fans not going to be big fans of Matthew Tkachuk. I think that's pretty clear to see at this point.
Yeah. I mean, when Roman Yossi's screaming.
Yeah.
You got to look in the mirror, Tkachuk. But, yeah, he is he's going to be very unpopular. Not to mention Roman Yossi screaming, you Matt Duchene trying to fight you. Like, if that happens, like, what does that say? I don't think Tkachuk meant to actually put the stick in his face after that faceoff. I think that was inadvertent, even though he just cross-checked him. But regardless, that set off one of just countless scrums between these teams. The tension is high, and Roman Yossi told us after the game, what do you say? We don't like them. So that's the thing. Like, if the Preds fan, you were rooting for Dallas, right? You didn't want, like, because there's a worst case scenario if Vegas wins last night, right?
Yeah.
But I still think you were better off with Vegas winning last night because you just need a point of the last four, and then you still are in good shape to be the first wild card.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How concerned are we about the UC Soros injury last night? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
How many games have you been through, John, like that, where you lose a key player like that and then, you know, the opponent scores a 0.1 of a second?
Yeah, not many, Joe. That was kind of a unique experience, you know, where, that happens. But I also think when you're in that type of a game, you know that the guy going in, it's a tough spot for him, you know, particularly with a one-goal lead, because you know there's probably going to be a push and you're going to need, you know, probably a save or two in there to be able to ice the game. But it was certainly a unique situation. I think, you know, at least in my experiences, I haven't really had that happen, particularly in that situation that late in the game.
That was John Hines, Preds head coach, after the game last night. A 5-4 overtime loss for the Predators. They punched their ticket anyway to the playoffs with Dallas beating Vegas in a shootout. But some concern on UC Soros leaving the game with over 6 minutes left in the third period last night against the Calgary Flames. And as we talked about in the last segment, couldn't put much weight on his leg coming down the tunnel there. Either needed some help getting back. Did not look good from UC Soros. And there was no update on his status after the game from the Predators. We'll continue the conversation on Soros here in just a second. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in David from Mount Juliet, who wants to weigh in on the Preds. David, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Exciting game last night. I hardly can talk. But, you know, we keep doing the same thing over and over, early penalties. Like, that is the dumbest penalty in the world, having two men on the ice. That got us right in the box right off. So that's just not coach good there, guys. That can't happen. What do you think about that?
Well, thanks for the call, David. I mean, it's one of those things too where we had talked so much, Joe, about how that's been the theme lately of the penalties. You're just kind of putting yourself behind the eight ball immediately. And then I think it was 2 minutes and 9 seconds into the game last night, you're called for too many men. Now, look, too many men's happen sometimes because the puck doesn't go where you think it's going to go, and then all of a sudden you get caught. The last night, it was basically Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, he just jetted right up, and they couldn't get off quick enough, and there was a mix-up, and all of a sudden there was like seven guys on the ice. That can't happen 2 minutes and 9 seconds into the game. And, of course, Calgary made them pay on the power play because of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, I would agree. I think in general, that's one of those penalties that, I mean, I've heard this from hockey people, like, you know, you gotta work on changing cleanly and all that stuff. Like it used to be in the old days, you just would drill that, and we never had too many men. But like you said, sometimes weird stuff can happen. To me, the bigger part of that is not which penalty; it's the fact that it just seems consistent now. Yep. Like they go into the box and early in a game, and they give up that power play goal, and they play from behind. So, like I thought last night, I mean, look, I think from that point, you know, until the bitter end, I thought their game was really good. Like, so I, like John Hines after the game, like he was happy. Obviously he was happy to get in the playoffs, but I think he was happy with how his team played. And I think they did play well and fought, and man, they had that game in their hands. So credit to them for that. But imagine if you could eliminate that part of it, you know, can you find a way to just not go in the box? And what did Josi have last night? Josi had three penalties.
He had three
right?
penalties. Yeah. Three minor penalties last night, which you just can't have. A couple of them were tripping penalties. I think one was on a power play where, had he not taken the penalty, there was probably a two-on-one going the other way. So you can probably live with that one. The cross-check in the back on the last one was not great. So not a great night penalty-wise for Roman Josi last night. Joe, I'm sitting there watching the play unfold. The Predators had killed that penalty, and they had a 4-3 lead in the third period. You're looking to close the game out and clinch the playoffs that way by winning in regulation. And the play goes down toward the other end where the Predators are in the attacking zone and the whistle's blown. And then all of a sudden I look up and UC Saros is at the bench. And I was like, okay, well, what's going on here? And I couldn't tell. At first it looked like he had his foot up on the bench, like trying to get his skate worked on. So, I mean, there's a bunch of guys huddled around him. I thought maybe there was an equipment issue. And then all of a sudden you see him hop over the bench, and he needs some help to do that. He throws his arms around two members of the Predators training staff, and they got to help him going down the hallway. And he's limping going down the hallway. Dave Riddick's getting ready. He's putting his mask on, and UC Saros is out of sight. That's the last we saw of UC Saros last night. I mean, I've gone through the replay, Joe, and I can't tell you like exactly what happened, but there is an angle where it looks like maybe he gets his skate kind of caught and bent on the post when he's pushing from side to side. And obviously there was no really like collision that you can point to where he was hurt, but it looked like a non-contact injury where he could not put weight on his left leg, which does not look very good, Joe Rexroad. I'm not a doctor, and I don't want to sit here and speculate as to what it could be, but did not look great for Saros last night.
Yeah, Max Hertz kept trying to send me grainy videos of the point where he injured himself. Yeah, like moving across the crease. You know, what you hope is that this is a turned ankle. You know, I saw the movement, I was like, did he pull his groin? You know, could it be something like that? But I think it's you know, not being able to put weight on the leg means, you know, it's one of two things. It's ankle or knee. Obviously, if that's some kind of a knee ligament thing, then that's really bad.
Yep.
If it's a badly sprained ankle, or, you know, just an ankle sprain, it's still not great. But you're in the playoffs if you're the Preds, and it certainly is possible that, you know, that you could you rest them for a week or so. That's probably about when the series will start, right? Is probably Tuesday of next week, something like that, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then you could be okay, but it's going to be pins and needles for Preds fans until – there's any kind of news today. And well, you said it. We talked about it, and I think there's already talk on the text line too. I mean, to me, Connor Ingram should be an absolute serious consideration as the guy if Saros is going to miss any time in the playoffs. I think it should be strongly considered.
Well, I agree. And look, Dave Riddick comes in last night. They give up the goal with 0.1 seconds left. He actually, in the 3-on-3 overtime, it appeared, made a pretty good save on the odd man rush, like right before the game winner from Calgary. And then you just get one that you got to have that squeaks through you, and it's in the back of the net, and all of a sudden you've lost. And look, I realize coming in cold when you've been sitting on the bench for 54 minutes of a hockey game is very difficult to do. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like that's not difficult, but I mean, we've talked about this with Dave Riddick. The save percentage and the numbers are what they are. I mean, I think he was .887 heading into the game last night. It's not good. And, you know, this goes without saying. If UC Saros is out for an extended period of time and he can't play in the playoffs, you are already fighting an uphill battle anyway, whether it's Calgary or Colorado. You're probably pretty close to screwed if you don't have UC Saros going in. But I agree that Connor Ingram, a couple of things. I think there's a chance that Connor Ingram might be better than David Riddick. And Connor Ingram's been playing the whole year. And I know it's been at the American Hockey League level, but he's been seeing some shots and he's been playing the game all year. I mean, Dave Riddick, we've talked about this with the workload for Saros, he hadn't played a whole lot. So if you're a Preds fan, you're hoping that you don't have to worry about this and that Saros is okay. But if he's out for an extended period of time and into the playoffs, I would give strong consideration if I was the Predators to starting Connor Ingram. That's me.
Yeah. Look, he was on a certain trajectory, and then he had, you know, his own issues and everything, and he had a detour, but he's a promising player. I mean, to me, he was already the likely backup goalie to Saros next year based on how he's played. And I think you have a higher ceiling with him. It also could be ugly, for sure, but I think you have a better chance of success with him. And in the meantime, you know, you're getting invaluable experience for a young player in your organization, and who knows how that could help him and you down the road. So, I mean, honestly, the more I think about it, I think it's a gimme, but I don't know if they think that way. You know, we'll have to find out about that. You know, last night my mentions had a really, you know, really interesting and perhaps exhausting debate, you know, between Preds fans on the whole Riddick thing. Like,
yeah,
this is why you play Riddick more, you know, because of course Saros is exhausted, has played all these games. And then the argument back is, well, are you sure you want to play Riddick more? Because, you know, had you played him 5 more games this year, would you be in the playoffs? It's an interesting debate because you can say, well, yeah, but maybe a little bit more. Maybe he's better then. And then Saros is a little more rested. But the bottom line is with Saros' injury, I think it's a mistake to look at that injury as an accumulation injury. I mean, injuries happen. It could have been week one. You have a weird step in the crease sometimes and you tweak something, you twist something. I mean, I don't think it's fair to look at that like a cumulative effect injury.
Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, good morning, boys. You sound surprisingly good after the late night. Question, has Pekka officially filed his retirement paperwork? If Saros is out, you have to think it's Ingram who gets to start, right? No way Juicy Rebound Dave is the one for the playoffs. I believe that Pekka is officially retired, yes. But that was a popular sentiment on Twitter last night, too.
Yeah, ask Hal after the game. Listening to D-Mac and Hal Gill on the post game, someone came in with that. I'm like, the Mike Fisher plan.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. Come on. Hey, Pecorine, little beer league hockey over there. He's staying sharp with his buddies in Finland, you know. Hey, I'd make a call. Why not?
I don't think it's legal at this point, but I'd probably make the call too.
Joe would still make it.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John, do you feel like both sides were maybe trying to send a message tonight with this being a potential playoff matchup here next week?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say it was so much message sending. I think it was a playoff style game. You know, I think when you look at our crowd and the environment that the arena provided with both teams, you know, obviously they were in to start the game and were a possible playoff opponent for them. And then our guys are, you know, coming in and understanding if we, you know, can win the hockey game, we're going to have an opportunity to be able to get into the playoffs. And the second thing is it is a possible playoff matchup. But I think, you know, some of it too that spurns on is we play them close, you know, I think what was it three or four games ago. So there's you know, you have that carryover, I think, from game to game, and then the possibility of if we were to get in, that, you know, that there's a chance we could play in. But I think it's really both teams. I mean, they're a really competitive team. We're a competitive team. I think there's a lot of similarities between the two, and, you know, both teams went at it hard tonight.
That was John Hines last night after a feisty one between the Preds and the Calgary Flames. Preds fall in overtime 5-4, but they clinch a playoff spot last night with Dallas taking down Vegas in a shootout. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Penne Pizza in L&L Market in West Nashville. Penne Pizza is Nashville's most and best authentic Italian restaurant, serving fresh farm-to-table dishes. You can head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card to Penne Pizza while supplies last. Joe, discussing the injury to UC Soros last night, there is a lot of people on the text line saying that Ingram should be the guy. I mean, we'll see what happens today and whether or not there's any news on the Soros front, but I don't know. It was strange being down there last night because, you know, John Hines was talking about him still being evaluated. Roman Josi didn't really seem to know what was going on either with Soros after the game. And I get it. You know, we're down there, you know, 5 minutes after they get off the ice. So there's only a certain amount of information that you could have there, but I don't know. Like, it seemed like, you know, I think sometimes players and coaches say things and say they don't know because they don't want to talk about other people's injuries. And I think that happens a lot, especially in the NHL. I don't know. I kind of got the vibe last night that they legitimately didn't know.
Yeah. Well, the players, the coach comment of "I haven't gotten with the trainer yet" is very, you know, that's a tried and true phrase.
Standard.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, most coaches, whether they actually got with the trainer or not, if probably asked around a little bit, you know, I'd say it's kind of important. But it's kind of like the coach who's, interviewing with the other school. And like, I haven't talked to anybody. You know, my agents talked to everybody, but I haven't talked to anybody.
That's right.
I think we got Forsberg and Josi after the, I mean, they both were like, I mean, I haven't seen them. Yeah, you know, I believe that it was still way too quick and early for them to have any idea. So a lot of commotion last night around the locker room, which was interesting. So that, rather than speculate, I think we'll find something out today, probably right after the show ends. And you hope for Soros' sake first that it's just a sprain of some kind, you know. It was just a weird thing. If that play is the play, and it makes sense because the next whistle he was off. If that was the play, it didn't look like a lot, but yeah. Sometimes it doesn't take something that looks like a lot to be a serious injury.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a movement that he's made, you know, 1,000 times this year, but like you said, sometimes all it takes is one little thing. Tyler on the text line says, I think you absolutely have to play Ingram against Colorado this week to see what you have, because that's the more likely matchup, and see how he does, because you can guarantee Big Save Dave is giving up at least 4 in each game against Colorado. This coming from Tyler on the text line. I mean, to Tyler's point, they do play Colorado tomorrow, so You talk about the potential playoff matchups. You saw Calgary last night. You're traveling to take on the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow. So you're getting a firsthand look at one of your playoff opponents is going to be those two teams. So we'll see what they go with. I mean, at this point, even if Saros is ready for the playoffs, I'd be pretty surprised if he's back in there for the rest of the regular season. That's just my guess.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's a moderate ankle sprain, I don't think he's going to play in these last two games. I don't think you're going to mess with that. You need that thing elevated and on ice. See, I hear what you're saying about Connor Ingram, let him see the abs. I don't know. I might look at it the other way and say, if I know, maybe if Connor Ingram has a real chance of being the playoff goalie, maybe I would not let the Avs look at him, and maybe not throw him out there. And all of a sudden, you lose 5-2, and now there's maybe a confidence hit involved as well.
Yep.
I don't know. I might go ahead and shroud things in mystery and say, hey, Big Dave, back out there, buddy. Let's keep those rebounds a little bit less juicy, please.
Dave, would you like both games of this back-to-back coming up?
Dave, how would you like a back-to-back, my friend? You've earned yourself some more ice time here. I think I might go that route. But I don't know. That's an interesting that would be another just interesting coaching point. How important is it to get? Maybe I actually what I might do in all seriousness is Riddick tomorrow, and then maybe go ahead with Ingram against Arizona just to get him out there, get his feet wet a little bit, and then make a decision based on that. Again, we're talking about a scenario that we don't know will be necessary.
And if you're a Preds fan, you're hoping and praying is not necessary. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jaden from White House, who wants to weigh in. Jaden, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
So I was watching that game, and whenever Saros got hurt, it kind of made me think of this past Super Bowl whenever Odell tore his ACL, and it was that non-contact injury, and it kind of worried me. And I was going to see what y'all thought about it, and I had another thought. And I saw Jared's tweet last night about, pull Pekka out of retirement. What are your thoughts of that actually happening? I'll leave it there.
Hey, thanks for the call. So, I mean, look, I don't want to sit here and speculate as to what Saros's injury could be, because there were some people tweeting me last night of, that looked like an ACL, or, that looked like a knee sprain, or, that looked like an ankle sprain. I have no clue what's wrong with UC Saros and what the injury is. I could just tell you it didn't look good. I don't know what that means as they move forward here. As far as the Pekka thing, I mean, it's a nice thought. It can't happen. He's not on the roster. And you can't have a player come out of retirement when the playoffs start. It can't happen. I'm 98% sure about that.
But there's two games left in the season, Robbie.
There's that. I guess he could come out.
Find the loophole.
You want to really nuke our show? We'll have that happen. That'd be funny.
It's good to know that it was a Jared tweet.
Yeah. Yes.
So I swear every day someone sends me a picture of a Jared tweet. Like, look at this crap. And I'm like, oh, no, this is the point of muting him so I don't have to see this stuff. I can't get away from it.
Hey, Bicycle Boy texting in says, if Ingram is going to be the guy, you've got to give him as much exposure with the big boys as possible before the playoffs. It's coming from Bicycle Boy. Look, I don't know that Ingram would be the guy. I mean, they very well could go with Dave Riddick. He's the one that's been up all year. He's the one that's been the backup goalie. Maybe the philosophy is if Saros can't go, Dave Riddick's going to be the guy that gets the shot. I'd be pretty nervous about that if I'm a Predator fan. That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, we're already, we've moved on here mentally into so how do you present Connor Ingram to the playoffs? Do you shroud him in mystery? Do you play him? He may not play at all. But look, if Saros is out, I think obviously he's one of the two goalies, right, who are on the roster. And I think there's a decent chance, especially if it's Colorado, that you're going to be looking into multiple options at the position. So maybe Riddick gets the first crack, but even if that's the case, I'll be pretty surprised if someone else doesn't get a crack too, because just based on what we've seen of Riddick, he's been battling. I thought he actually battled pretty well in the Minnesota game. Those rebounds are, oh, they're juicy. You know, it's just, I mean, there's just such a big difference between, you know, Saros and look, there's plenty of teams. There's a big difference between your starter and your backup, but
sure,
this particular backup, I think you have an enticing alternative in Milwaukee, and I think that's going to get very serious consideration.
By the way, the other theory is just go ahead and bring Askarov over and throw him in there, let him go. That's not happening either. So
I made that joke in the hallway last night. Glad someone else is on my same wavelength.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll look ahead to Colorado or Calgary. And also, is it time to be concerned about a former first-round pick for the Predators? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most Insta-worthy moments. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning, talking Preds and taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. Even though the Predators lost the game last night, that was a really fun game to attend and to watch. And if somebody had never been to an NHL game before and went to that as his first game, I mean, that has to have hooked them. I mean, that was a fantastic game. One of the – I forget the name of the player on the Flames – I think he's their most veteran player. He's played over 1,000 games, and he said that game last night ranked in his top five. Do you remember who that was? Was it Lucic?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah.
Lucic.
You know, and regardless of how it shakes out, this team has been a lot of fun to watch this year, and so I'm optimistic about the future, regardless of what happens in the first round of the playoffs. I think. And I'd like y'all's opinion on this. I think they're going to wind up playing Colorado because Dallas has two pretty easy games compared to the Predators. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. I mean, Joe, I would say right now the most likely scenario is probably Colorado in the first round. Now, something to keep in mind, if the Predators and the Stars end up tied in points, the Predators get the tiebreaker. So the Stars are going to have to outright beat the Predators in points. Now, the Stars do have, I believe it's Anaheim and Arizona left on their schedule. So those are two games that they should win. A lot of times the Dallas Stars tend to screw up games that they should win, but those are two games that they should win. The Predators taking on Colorado and then Arizona on a back-to-back. So I think most people would probably favor the Stars to end up as the first wild card right now, but we'll see how that shakes out that way. Joe, if it is end up being Calgary and Nashville, you know, the UC Saros situation aside, we'll get to that in terms of finding out what the severity of his injury is, because obviously if he's not in there, that really changes the way you feel about a lot of things. But just the style, I mean, I think we saw last night, we've been talking about how Calgary and Nashville play a very similar game. We saw that last night. Calgary's not afraid of the physical game that the Predators try to bring to the table.
No, and again, I haven't seen that kind of success against Janot and Borowiecki all year. I didn't know Eric Goodbranson was so tough. Did you know he was so tough when you ripped him constantly last spring?
Well, you know, I was excited that he went to the Flames because I thought that there was finally, you know, a jersey that could be appropriate for like the traffic cone that he was last year with the Predators.
Oh my goodness.
But no, I mean, he's played pretty well this year, and I didn't know he could fight like that. And apparently him and Tanner Jeannot like carpooled to the game last year for the Predators, and last night they're fighting each other. Jeannot got a couple good ones in to start with, but that's the first time that I've seen somebody get the better of him in a fight.
Jeannot got the uppercut in that landed big time, and I was like, oh, there it is. But boy, once Gabranson got his helmet off, it was that was, first of all, like that fight lasted so long. That was like playing basketball like 14 straight hours, you know, like the exhaustion level. Yeah. It was like both of those guys just get the rest of the period off. But yeah, you know, Glennon got all mad at me for tweeting that it was a draw. He's probably right that Gabranson gets the dub there. Okay. But I mean, I thought early it was Edge, you know, late Gabranson. Gabranson probably gets the win. But regardless, even for a fight to be that close with Jeannot is kind of stunning. And then Lucic, oh my gosh, don't mess with that guy. I mean, that in fact, even just, I mean, a couple times he actually moved Jeannot in confrontations, you know, along the boards, which you don't see either. That guy is a mountain. So the Flames came in intent on making a statement, but I'm with Bob on a couple of things. First of all, what an incredible game. You don't love the sport of hockey. If you were in the building last night, you don't, and you didn't leave the building loving, like just being enthralled by hockey, I can't help you.
Yeah.
And also I think the Preds fans should have been rooting for Vegas last night. I mean, they'd be sitting there right here right now, not sure for sure that they're in, but they still would have gotten in, and they'd have a much better chance of playing Calgary. I think they're going to get the Avs now.
I got a texture that says, I just want to say there are still goons in the NHL, and Lucic is number one. This is coming from a texter on the text line. I don't know if I'd put him at number one, but I can tell you this. It's not going to take very long if it's a Calgary-Nashville series for Predators fans to absolutely hate a couple of those guys. I think Matthew Tkachuk's at the top of the list. Lucic is probably on the list somewhere, but Matthew Tkachuk, I mean, it felt like every verbal confrontation last night was between Matthew Tkachuk and some member of the Nashville Predators. And look, I think he's the perfect example of a guy that if he's on your team, you love him. He's a great player. He's got over 100 points. He's physical. He can fight if need be. Doesn't do it much anymore because he has 101 points, but he is the quintessential agitator in today's game. And if it's Predators Flames, Predators fans are going to absolutely despise Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah. I mean, this has the potential, if it can happen, which again, I doubt, but if it were to happen, this could be like, they could be the new Ducks to the Preds. I mean, you know, like there's that kind of dislike potential. Did you see the Johnny Gaudreau, Dante Fabro? Little pillow fight.
Oh yeah.
Johnny Gaudreau, who's like 5'3", 110 or whatever he is. He did like a fake punch. It was so funny. He did like this, like trying to get him to flinch, and then Fabro just like shoved him. It was, oh man. There were some funny sights amid all the violence.
it's a heck of a hockey game last night, but I would agree the likelihood at this point is probably Colorado. But if you're the Preds and you can beat Colorado tomorrow, then you got Arizona coming up the next day. So we'll see what happens on that front. Joe, Elli Tolvanen, a healthy scratch last night. So that's the second time in three games that Elli Tolvanen has been a healthy scratch. That was met with a lot of reaction yesterday. A lot of people yelling at me about me asking if they're mad if Elli Tolvanen has been scratched. Matthew Olivier comes up from Milwaukee. Quite frankly, I didn't think he was very good last night. But Tolvanen out of the lineup in that game. What are your thoughts on kind of the Tolvanen situation? Obviously, it's been a disappointment this year. We've talked about that. We've talked about him and Luke Cunningham a lot. If you're a Predators fan, how do you view Elli Tolvanen at this moment?
Well, I did ask John Hines about this last night, and I think he came as close to just flat out saying it as you can get, which is Olivier was here for this game.
Yeah.
For this opponent. So now that doesn't change the discussion around Tolvanen. But I think in this particular instance, they wanted Olivier in the lineup for this opponent, knowing what was about to happen. Now, doesn't mean you have to take out Tolvanen for that, right? I mean, you're certainly welcome to take Luke Kunin out of the lineup too.
Yeah.
By the way, but John Hines then also gave a pretty extensive, you know, vote of confidence and we believe in him and all these things with his statements, which, you know, look, a year ago it was Fabreau was this guy we were talking about, and they stuck with Fabreau. Fabreau worked, and Fabreau got himself into a better spot this year. So I'm not sitting here saying it's over. He is still young, but it's trending in a very bad direction, I'd say. And I don't know how he has done some things to improve his overall game, but then seemingly has just lost all danger as an offensive player. But that is what's happened this year. And I'd keep an open mind on his future with the Preds.
Yeah, it's a very interesting spot to be in. I heard from a lot of people yesterday, very upset that Luke Kunin was not the one that was a scratch. I understand that. I can't argue against that. But, you know, Elie Tolvanen and Luke Kunin obviously have had some disappointing seasons, especially offensively. Joe, I mean, we talked about the Preds last night, and I think they played pretty well for the most part. But who were the goal scorers for the Preds last night?
Yeah, Forsberg. I mean, Forsberg and Duchesne might get me. Shoot, if they have some crazy games here at the end, they're chasing 50.
Yeah.
No, not really, but it's a heck of a race. Yeah, you got Forsberg, Duchesne, and then somehow the Flames are like, hey, Yossi, why don't you just skate right in there and take your best shot? And he said, thank you very much. Yeah, it's the usual suspects. I mean, and kudos to those guys. And this is part of why, you know, I think the Preds are dangerous. They got some high-level players right now. Playing at a high level consistently all year. But, yeah, the lack of secondary scoring is pretty glaring.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We're going to be joined by Matthias Ekholm coming up at 9 o'clock, Adam Bingen at 9:30 as well. Coming up next, we'll get into some comments made on our show yesterday by Charles Robinson regarding Ryan Tannehill that took Titans Twitter and the shows yesterday on our station by storm. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.